And the Oscar goes to the Faceless Artificial Neural Network. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. The 95th Academy Awards this Sunday are sure to feature plenty of glitz and glam, awkwardly cut-off speeches, and artificial intelligence. The technology is becoming a bigger and bigger part of filmmaking in ways not everyone is thrilled about. It's something Josh Glick wrote about recently for Wired. He's a visiting associate professor of film and electronic arts at Bard College, and he argues AI may not be the villain some in Hollywood imagine it to be.
AI is part of the toolbox of animators, VFX supervisors, computational artists, you know, digital faces, imagery of crowds, you know, for large battle scenes, things like that. And then also, I mean, even for, say, the realm of documentary, I mean, there are some documentarians using these tools for particular ends. So a film like Welcome to Chechnya sort of uses deepfake technology to essentially provide a kind of protection for the vulnerable on-screen subjects in the film. And, you know, a recent Andy Warhol documentary also uses these tools to create a kind of synthetic, you know, voice of Andy Warhol, and, you know, to great effect.
And for those who have concerns about where this could be going, what are kind of the basis of those concerns?
I mean, certainly the idea that this technology will just get so good that it will replace all kinds of creative labor, right? I mean, one could imagine a world where, you know, you place in, you know, a prompt into one of these apps, you know, and out would come a polished script, or even a film, you know, whole cloth out of a single prompt, or, you know, a set of related prompts. So the idea that, you know, the roles of scriptwriter, of director, of artists, or, you know, designers will essentially be replaced by, you know, some of these technologies. You know, new tools, new technologies have always, you know, sustained a kind of productive tension, a kind of creative tension with the sort of status quo of the industry. But I'd say that, you know, the idea of complete replacement, I don't foresee that happening in the near future. You know, some of the most promising or interesting areas is how these tools sort of become part of the toolbox.
AI has, as you said, been used to render characters in movies, that are deceased. It has also been used for something called age regression in film. Can you explain that?
So for the, you know, for the de-aging, you know, a lot of the discussion, you know, goes into the idea that it's really a kind of expansion of stardom, right? Of the kind of the star body, the star character, you know, bringing them back to an early moment in their life, bringing them back through time travel, through a flashback into the future. I mean, it's sort of opening up, say, possibilities for sort of what that character can do and where they can go. And, you know, so we've seen it a lot in, various Star Wars films. You know, we're just going to see it in the new, you know, Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones 5, Dial of Destiny, that's coming out. And so there are some, you know, proponents of these applications as really, an interesting way of sort of bending and pulling, you know, the star character into new terrain. There's also, you know, the claim that it looks just plain creepy and weird, right? It's part of that kind of uncanny valley effect. You know, it doesn't look exactly quite right. And, you know, for reasons that are sometimes easy, but also sometimes difficult to articulate. You know, there's also, I'd say, the debate surrounding, well, who gets to be, you know, de-aged and who is really sort of claiming a lot of these new technologies. And, you know, it's often sort of, you know, aging, you know, white male bodies, right, that are sort of brought back into past, you know, moments of their self rather than women and people of color. So I think it's also an occasion for really discussing it and sort of critiquing, you know, the uses of some of these technologies and maybe the need to really, you know, have it expand across a much more full and inclusive spectrum of character and actor and actress.
How could AI be used sort of on the business side of Hollywood?
As far as what this is a continuation of, you could say the commercial film and television industry, you know, looking to the newest technologies to, you know, give them information, the most accurate information they can find about what is going to make them the most money. And so some of these, you know, I'd say it's perhaps like a niche area of consulting, you know, these days to use some of these AI tools, you know, to analyze lots of scripts from the past, films from the past, things about genre, you know, to get, you know, information for studios, for filmmakers out there about what films might make the most money, depending on what happens in the plot, depending on who's cast. It, you know, leads to the attempt to sort of slow down and challenge risk, you know, which I think is a problem, right? I mean, it really damages the possibility of, you know, getting more films out there made by women, by people of color, when studios are just trying to make a film, you know, with the least amount of risk.
Josh Glick teaches film and electronic arts at Bard College. And we've got more on this over at our website, marketplacetech.org. If you want to read Josh Glick's full piece for Wired, we've got the link. He goes into a lot more detail about the many ways Hollywood is using AI, like those two documentaries he mentioned in our conversation. Welcome to Chechnya is a 2020 film about anti-gay purges in that region, and the six-part Netflix docuseries The Andy Warhol Diaries, which is partially narrated by an AI-generated version of Andy Warhol's voice. You might remember something similar was done in that documentary about Anthony Bourdain that came out a couple years ago called Roadrunner. It used AI trained on all the hundreds of hours of Bourdain's TV shows to generate posthumous voiceovers, often from private correspondence he'd written, which naturally raised a lot of ethical questions. And the ownership of a person's voice or likeness is definitely going to be a big issue as this tech becomes more common and more sophisticated. The LA Times reported in December on a 2022 movie called Fall that used generative AI to seamlessly remove swear words from scenes in post-production by synthetically generating the actor's voice and face, saying something different than what was originally shot. This could, of course, save a lot of money on reshoots. It could help movies perform better overseas by avoiding those cheesy overdubs. But the general counsel for SAG-AFTRA, the union that represents actors, he told the LA Times that this is likely going to be a big topic for contract negotiations going forward. As for how AI could have been used in this year's Oscar noms, I mean, that age regression tech had to have been used on Tom Cruise and Jennifer Connelly in Top Gun Maverick, right? I mean, they look amazing, whatever it is. Jesus Alvarado, Rosie Hughes, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Lydia Morell is our intern. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.